In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I should mention before I begin that people say, oh, it's a nice homily, Father Justin. Nothing I say is original, and I hope it's not. Everything I say, as I read from the spiritual fathers, the holy fathers, holy bishops, holy elders. Today I lean heavy on one Athenite elder and also Metropolitan Anthony Bloom of blessed memory. So don't think that somehow I came up with this. In fact, the beauty of orthodoxy in the ancient church is that it's not about me. It's about the priesthood of Christ, and it's about that wisdom that you could get from any orthodox church in the entire world. You could receive the same wisdom, and that's the power of the church. I love today's gospel reading because it's, of course, about miracles. We see two great miracles done by our Lord. But in a world that seems so hopeless, utterly hopeless, right? Shooting in a synagogue, all this terrible stuff happening. People are hopeless. I can tell you as a priest, people that even should have Christ are hopeless. Christ in the gospel, what does he do? He constantly presents, as one of the fathers say, is a hope beyond hope. So in the story of this woman with an issue of blood, she's in despair, she's despised, she's hated, and yet hope beyond hope comes to her in the form of Christ. In the story of the daughter of Jairus, that ruler who comes, a child, we see a child already dead. Everyone knows about it, and there's such certainty about it too, that when the Son of God, Christ, comes and he says, no, this child has not died, it has fallen asleep. Everyone laughs at him. And they contradict him and they say, he says, no, this child has died. And then Christ, with this beautiful, his words are full of power, dynamis, always. In an act of love, what does he do? He so gently and so beautiful calls that child back to life again. So let's think about those two things. We have this woman with an issue of blood. 12 years. This wasn't her normal womanly flow and period. No, it wasn't the normal thing. That's part of the fall as well. When they said after the expulsion from the garden that men would work hard and bear, they would have to work hard and sweat with their brow, and women would bear children in pain. In fact, every cycle of a woman is a child that is not. That's not something of the kingdom, the fathers say. It's a marker of our fallenness until the transfiguration of the next life. But that was not what was happening here. She had a sickness that made her bleed all the time. And of course, in the ritual purity of the Jews, she was unworthy. She was not able to go into the synagogue. She was despised. You could not touch her. She was one of the untouchables. For nothing that she did wrong on her own, so to speak. Sin, right? Which is healed by faith. And think about her life. She has nothing to lose at this point. She's hated by everybody. No one can be her friend. So she's not in this fake world of trying to be popular and do all that. She's died to that. Very essential to the spiritual life. Many times, trying to impress people instead of God is what gets us into trouble. But she forgot about anything but her healing. And she didn't care what the world thought of her. A, did not care what the world thought. B, she rushed into Christ. Think about the scene. It says that people were crowding around, almost crushing. St. Luke says, almost crushing Christ. And this old lady comes up, and she touches the hem of his garment. With faith, if I can just touch the edge of his garment, I'll be healed. Now think about that. He's being pressed upon. Everyone's grabbing him and touching him. And that took strength. There's a bunch of men around her. She pushed through. She didn't go, oh, I want to try. Oh, it's hard. Oh, it's so many people. Oh, it's okay. Right? Like we always do. Oh, I'll try praying, but oh, it's so hard. You know, it's difficult. We hit one little barrier and we go, oh, that's too hard. Or I'm going to try fasting. Oh, but I missed that burger. It's too hard. Right? I want to ask forgiveness. I want to get out of bed. Oh, but I really don't want to. It's just not, that leads to no kind of healing. She would have gone right back to her sickness and illness, but she would not stand for it. She didn't care what the world thought, and she worked her tail off. It was labor involved to push her way through. Americans aren't used to this. I went to Europe again this summer. If you go to Greece or other places, you realize only people that wait in lines are Americans and Germans. That's it. Everyone else pushes. It doesn't matter if you're a priest. Priest, get out of the way. Priest. Even on Mount Athos, the monks rushing for the bus. You know, there's no love lost, believe me. Right? We're very polite and used to that. It was a rush. trying to get on the boat back from Mount Athos to Ordinopolis. It was the feast day of the Mother of God's Dormition. It was insanity. Right? People trying to push, believe me. They all love God, but they're all pushing. And so that gave me a good idea of what this scene must have been like. And she pushed through like one of those feisty old Greek grandmas. She pushed through because she cared about healing more than anything. We need to have a dose of that toughness and pushing ourselves. It's going to be hard, but boy, is it worth it. And then when she did touch the hem of his robe, Christ turns. What happened? He says, someone touched me. And of course, Peter's like, what? Well, everyone's touching you. How can you distinguish a touch when everyone's touching you? You know, all my kids like group hug me. I can't quite tell whose hands are what, right? You can't tell. But what was the difference? Her life of faith, that's the final thing she had. She did not care what the world thought. We need that. And we're so worldly sometimes, and we have to stop it. And stop caring what this dead, dying world thinks of us so much. Oh, they think we're good looking. They think we're professional stuff. It doesn't care about you. It wants to eat you up. Start caring what Christ thinks in the kingdom first. Who cares if people go to church? Who cares if you wear your cross? Who cares if you make the sign of the cross? Who cares if you fast? Why are you going to change for them, this dying world? Let them see what a life in Christ is like. Be like her. Second step, she was pushed herself. Let's push ourselves like her. What made Christ sense her touch more than all the others touching him? Power came out of me. That's what he says. Dynamis in Greek. Power. Dynamic power. That should be pretty humbling to all of us. Just because you're a baptized Orthodox Christian or because you think you believe in God doesn't mean power is coming to you. Just because you said, I believe in Jesus Christ does not mean power is coming to you. Many will say, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of God. The 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, they were all virgins. They're going to knock and say, verily, I do not know you. So it's more than just saying, I believe in Jesus. More than just being baptized, it's a dying daily. It's never giving up no matter what. It's a knocking on that door and knock, and he'll open to you. But that knocking is left up to us. Even the call to knock comes from him, but we have to honor that call. To who cares this world thinks? Who cares about our laziness? Let's push through. And third, he felt power go out. How many of us are touching the garment of Christ today? How many of us are touching him and he doesn't notice it? How many of us are touching it and no power is going from him to you? Why is that? What did she have that the rest didn't? She had these two things I talked about, right? Again, who cares the world? Desperation for healing. Not like, hey God, coming to church is real nice, I'm doing well. That won't invite the grace of God. I am broken, I have nothing without you, Christ. I need you. That invites the grace of God. Second, she pushed through that crowd. You push through your laziness. You push through who cares the world thinks. You push past your pillow. You push past the burgers. You push past your laziness. You push past the pornography and the lust. And you say, I don't want that. And it's hard. I'm sure she was bruised up in the it was worth it. And then her faith. When she finally gets called out, Christ says, your faith has made you well. In Greek, whole. Sin makes us not whole and broken. Repentance and virtue makes you whole, physically and spiritually. So those three things that she had, didn't care what the world thinks. Desperate for God. Most of us are not desperate for God. If you had cancer, you'd be desperate for healing. You should be just as desperate for healing in this church as the worst, as a person riddled with cancer, because we are all riddled with spiritual cancer. And you have all the healing in the life of the church and baptism, in prayer and repentance and fasting. It can all be healed. But we lack that sense of desperation and love and desire. And so we rest our hand on Christ and we're numb with the rest of the crowd. Let us have a faith like hers that invites dynamis, power to come. Amazing, her life. And then we have two miracles. Now we have this incredible miracle of this woman. And now we have an even greater miracle. Right? This man who loves his daughter. He's a ruler of the synagogue, Jairus. He begs with such faith and says, please, please come and heal my daughter. Right? So these things are often like parables too. These are real events in human history. They happen. But why do we really care about that? Only insofar as it affects us. Listen to what the Father says. It's a parable for our human situations. How often do we say to somebody, to ourselves, there's no point in trying to help that person. That person's lost anyhow. There's nothing to do about redeeming that situation. The situation is beyond redemption. We often think this in our judgment about people, situations. And then in all of our smart worldliness thinking, we know the words of the living God destroy that. When St. Peter says, who then can be saved? And what does the Lord say? What is impossible to man is possible to God. But we are ruled by the world, most of us. We're not in the world, not of it. We are of it. And that's why our clinging to his garment is not inviting. Dynamis and power. Christianity is hope beyond the false hope of this world. Not because we have good reasons to hope. A worldly person could do that. Oh, I have hope because this, this, and this. No, Christ is only hope when there's no other worldly hope. Why does God let people get cancer? Let them go to prison camps, things like that. Because he wants to remove every other idolatrous hope. I believe in you, God, but I really hope in this doctor. I believe in you, oh God, but I really hope in this. I really hope in the Stairmaster. Right? We don't believe in him. We have other hopes and we lie about our hope to him. So because he loves us so much, he lets us suffer a bit and struggle and say, you're not going to find consolation in that. No more consolation. I know a guy who loved food, couldn't kick the addiction with fasting, so God sent him a real big sickness and illness, and now he can't eat. He eats through a tube. And you know what he said? Finally, the passion of gluttony is destroyed in him. He said, God loved me so much that I couldn't do it myself, so he found another way for me to be released of the sin before I die. The world says, that's not hope. That's great hope. You see, the Lord loves us in our suffering and in our struggle to have his hope beyond this fake world's hope. What is our hope? One of the fathers says, listen to this beautiful word. We're possessed of a passionate certainty that not only love divine, but human love can bring back to life what was lost. People we know who have fallen into terrible sin, terrible, what the fathers say, dereliction. They're sinning, they're on drugs, they're doing terrible things. Not just them, us, other people, they hate people, they're not loving God. That person will never be. First of all, we're judging. Because if I'm a priest and I'm a Christian, it's a miracle. Without Christ, I should be in a gutter somewhere. And all of us should feel the same way. This person can't be saved. They're hopelessly evil. But what happens if people like that are met by sacrificial love? Not worldly love, sacrificial love. The fathers say anybody can be redeemed. Any situation can be redeemed. Right? In the case of this woman with the issue of blood and this dead child, it happened immediately. The fathers say it's going to be different for us often. In our relationships to one another, people in our lives, good and bad, it may take years. Years of patient, suffering love. Years during which we give ourselves. We die. We bleed for them. We endure beyond the world's fake hopes. We endure endlessly the most unendurable things. That's why mothers are so holy. And in the end, that can always lead to redemption, the fathers say. People give up, though. There can be redemption, even in this life, the fathers say. How? In the form of a person who was thought to be lost, who was thought to be hopeless, beyond help, and I know I was one of those people. Not just the homeless guys we baptized, those miracles. The fact that you are here in this broken world is a miracle, and it's no less possible for every single person who is dying outside of the church. And slowly we begin to change. And we see a miracle in other people. And we're elated. That's why, that's the joy in the midst of this hellish life that you, for a priest especially, you see because of sacrificial love of Christ above all, and the saints and each other, that people have real change. That's the joy of being a priest or being a parent, if they change. And that's the joy, only real joy in this fallen world. But there's another way in which this sacrificial love can be redemption. There was a theologian who said around the last time of the last world war, he said this, when feelings were deep, when pain was terrible, he said, suffering is the place, the meeting place between evil and humanity. Suffering is always caused by human agency, by people. Or when human people turn away from suffering and don't do anything to alleviate it and fix it. But suffering always cuts into the souls and bodies, even of people. But when that happens, the miraculous happens. The victim acquires divine power to forgive, and by forgiveness to actually undo evil and to redeem those who have done the evil. Now make no mistake, I haven't suffered that much in my life. We all think we have, right? And then as a priest, when I hear confessions of people that have been through prison camps, when I hear the confession of a man who saw his family tortured in front of him, who would not betray Christ, I realize I know nothing of suffering. My sufferings are so ridiculous. Nevertheless, we all have our own private hell. It's not to minimize our own struggle that we all have, but we all tend to think ours is worse. But I can't relate to a lot of those sufferings. But there was a beautiful note that was found in one of the concentration camps afterwards, in a faithful Orthodox person. The person was long dead, and they found it on a torn sheet of wrapping paper that was in the prison camp. They found a note that he had written. And I want to share it with you because this comes from a much more suffering heart. This is what he said. It was written in a prayer. Lord, when you come as a judge of the earth, do not condemn the people who have done such atrocious things to us. Do not hold against them their cruelty and our suffering, their violence and our despair. But look at the fruits that we have borne in patience, in humility, in fortitude, in forgiveness, in loyalty, in solidarity. And may our fruits be accounted for their salvation. So beautiful. Do not allow the memory of us to be in eternity a horror to them, but may it be their salvation. That's prison camps, hopeless by worldly standards. And for this transfigured Christian martyr, which is possible for all of us if we bear our sufferings in the church, hope beyond hope springs forth. And really, it's such a contrast to this crazy world. And let's look at the example of the raising of Jairus' daughter to end. You have this hope, I just talked about this hope beyond hope. Let's contrast that with the worldly people who were at the house of Jairus. When Christ came and said, no, she's not dead, she's sleeping. They laughed. They mock him. Like they mock you. Like that this world wants to mock your faith. Don't go to church. Don't waste your time. Come on, it doesn't really do anything. Be like us. Don't fast. Don't pray. Who cares? It's normal to look at that stuff you shouldn't look at. It's normal to masturbate. It's normal. It's not normal. We've been lulled into this place of sin is normal. And we who are people of the resurrection, people of no death, we walk in Zombieville with the rest of the zombies. Rather than being a light to call all the suffering people to the same healing. They know, they're smart. We know the child is dead. We know that God is not real. We know that, and you're just wasting your life and nice sentimentality and church going and such. They're so sure of themselves. This world, as we see these men around Christ, hope to them is ridiculous, stupid, superfluous. It's drowned in despair. And that's where most people are at. But what happens in this surety, in this sureness? There's no hope, everything is. Christ comes. The God-man comes. He who is love and life itself, who made everything, he explodes upon the scene and he says, she's sleeping. And let me show you. And he goes up and he takes her hand and he raises her from the dead. One of the millions of miracles our Lord has done in history and continues to do in the life in the church. And by the way, I love the part of the gospel. He takes her to her parents and says, get her something to eat. The Lord cares about even the smallest things in our hearts. If it matters to us, in some sense, it matters to him. The healing was first, but he didn't begrudge her some food. How tender is the Lord with us for all of our needs. The church is the same hospital. In the hospital, they don't just give you surgery and tear you open, at least in America, and then leave you. They give you pretty good food, too. And the nurses are hopefully nice to you. And there's a TV for you. There's all these other comforts. The church provides all those comforts. But one above all, the healing, the surgery, the medicine, the same Christ is here. The church is the continuation of God's walking on this earth. It is our incarnation. The same healing that came to this woman and to this dead child is available to you and to me. The question is, are you going to be one of those people lazily, maybe excitedly, touching the Christ, but nothing happening? Or are we going to be like this woman? I think the answer hopefully is obvious. How do we get from, oh, I want that, to doing it? Let's live like this woman. Stop caring what this world thinks so much. Think about your death. Think about how you're going to face God. Go to confession. You're going to stand before God. The Lord says, for every idle word, you will give an answer. I don't know about you, I said a lot of idle words and a lot worse than idle. We've all done terrible things. We do terrible things every day. We judge, we hate, we lack love, we're mean, we're gluttonous. You are this. All of us are this. But the Lord wants to heal you and forgive you. Now, if you stand before God and say, well, I wanted to, God, that is not going to do it on the judgment seat. You were given this life, this precious life, to prepare for eternity and love others, and you're going to waste it, and your excuse is going to be, well, I wish I had done it. What a wasted life. This life is too beautiful to waste on stupid things. Let us make a promise to Christ. Every minute is the beginning of our salvation. We say in the Feast of Annunciation, today is the beginning of our salvation. Every day, my spiritual father says, every day, every minute is a new beginning in Christ. I pray that we look to this woman, this beautiful woman, Saint Veronica. She's a saint of the church, by the way. Woman with the issue of blood, Veronica. And when you emulate her today, when you touch the vestments of the priest, don't just be a wannabe, right? Don't just go through the motions. It won't draw power. Let's not care what the stupid world thinks. Let's push through the crowd. Let's push through our laziness. Let's keep the fast of the church. Let's pray. Let's confess. Because by the way, someone told me, Father, I'm afraid to die of all my sins. Well, if you didn't have a healing, that would be the case. But when you come to confession, brothers and sisters, and you confess everything on your heart, it's gone if you mean it. And then when you stand before God, all the things you confessed, none of them matter. They're gone. He tears the hand. Don't you want that? Or do you want the weight on you? Why do you think, Father Paul, and I want you to come to confession? I want you to be light. And I want your ascent to Christ to be quick in this life and especially in the passing to the next. Not to make you feel guilty. Quite the opposite. That's why I want you to come to confession. Why confession should be full. The more you dump, when you stand at the judgment seat, those things are gone. She was desperate. Be desperate for that healing. Come and touch his garment in confession. Come and touch his garment in prayer. And take fasting, for instance. So few people fast seriously. They mock it and think it's like a rule. It changes lives. People don't think prayer is possible. Because they won't fight through the crowd of their own laziness. I tried it for a while, Father. No, you didn't. You gave up because it's hard. Because we're all so lazy. I want your healing so badly. I want my own healing so badly. I want to be like this woman. Stop caring about this vain world so much. Push through the crowd of your laziness and all your sins, and I have many. The same, not worse. And let's have faith. Faith beyond hope. Stop believing the fake lies of this world. There's no hope. That person can't change. That we're going to always be this way. That's not a believer. But brothers and sisters, I look at the news and go, gosh, it's terrible. There's only one hope in this world. And when you realize it, it sounds depressing to go, this world is not Shangri-La. We're all going to die. Children die. Children die of cancer. There's earthquakes. There's horrible things. There's murders. There's rapes. There's terrible things. Why am I saying that? Because if you think you can be some outside of Christ and find joy, it's only because you're plugging your ears and covering your eyes. There is no joy in this world without Christ. It's miserable. That's why people take drugs, are sex addicts, or all these things, because they know that too. And they know the only thing to do is to numb themselves. We don't have to numb ourselves. We have the only true hope that's beyond all these places. It can transform and transfigure and transcend prison camps, suffering, crucifixion, martyrdom, my inner hell, your inner hell. That's when Christ explodes upon the life, but it only comes if we have faith to be made whole. My prayer today for myself is to stop being so lazy, Brother Justin. Stop, for all of us, stop being so quick to not push through the crowd. Stop caring what the world thinks so much, how we look. Are we this? Are we likable? And start thinking of how attractive are we to Christ? How attractive are we to Christ? Do we have virtues that draw him? Do we have virtues? Like one saint said, you know, put on your pants, put on your shirt. My clothes are nice. My hair is nice. My this is nice. We should be thinking, do I have humility? Do I have love? Does this almsgiving look good? That's if we thought about an ounce of how we look to Christ and put that effort in compared to the worldliness, heaven and hope beyond hope comes to and breaks into our life. Brothers and sisters, may we have the prayers of St. Veronica, and may the living Christ who lives and breathes in this church in holy baptism, may he begin to heal us all, and may we not be one of these vain gawkers in the crowd. May we have the humility of this great woman May we fight through it. May we clutch the hem of Christ's garment, and may His power come to us and save us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.